You know, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, I guess, we talked about, you know, the parable of the last man in the field, right? Getting paid the same as the guy that woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and went to work. You know, it's not our thinking, you know. So, you know, going on with that, you know, who is God? You know, why is the kingdom of heaven good with that guy getting the same wages as the guy that got up at 6 o'clock in the morning? Because God is not bound by time. We think of time because we don't have but a limited amount of it, right? We know we're going to die. God's never going to die. Okay? He is on the throne infinitely, and he can come and go in time however he wants to. So time doesn't matter to him. He doesn't think about it that way. So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone." Wow.
Amen.
What about that guy that murdered that little girl? What about that guy?
He murdered three girls.
Yeah, three girls, yeah. What about the guy that murdered Charlie Kirk? What about him? Does he get a new life too? If he humbles himself, you hope not, but God hopes he does.
Yeah.
God wants him to humble himself before the Lord and accept Christ, accept the sacrifice. He doesn't think like we do. And we need to start thinking more like he does. He's different. We need to be different than this world. Now, I'm not saying there's not accountability. You know, guy probably needs to go to prison for life, you know? I mean, there's a penalty for what you do, right? A new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Before Jesus Christ, we were all dead. Every one of us. Not a soul here. I don't care if you were a Jew or who you were. You were dead. Okay? Because Christ proves that we cannot meet the law. We just don't have it in us. I mean, Lord, Moses led the Hebrews across the ocean in a dry creek bed, in a dry bed, straight across it. What happens? They get across and they get on the other side. What'd they do? He left for a couple days. They were building golden calves. You know? I mean, we just weak-minded. I mean, that's just bottom line. None of us can withstand the pressure of perfection. There's only one of them, and that was Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, Al. You sit there.
God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ. So our job is to be telling our friends, telling our family, telling everybody, stranger on the street, about Jesus Christ. That's what God tasked us with. Why did he task us with that? Do you think he needs us to share the gospel? Probably not. I mean, I imagine if God wants somebody to hear the gospel, he can do like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. Knock him blind. Knock him down. Flash a light. You know? Go ahead and deny that, Paul. You know? He can do it. He does it so we will humble ourselves before other people. That's why we are supposed to share the gospel. To humble ourselves before them and to tell them, hey, let them know, hey, you're not a sinner alone. You're not the only one. I'm a saint, but I'm a saint because of Christ's blood. Not because of what I did. I didn't do anything that deserves salvation. Nobody here did anything that deserves salvation. Everything that was done on that cross. Our job is to accept it and believe it. No longer counting people's sins against them, he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Doesn't have to, but he's making his appeal through us. He's using us. Okay? We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's the message. Right?